There is a story you've been telling yourself about your story. And the story goes something like this: the parts that are hard are the parts to hide. The parts that are embarrassing are the parts to manage carefully. The parts that show the gap between who you wanted to be and what actually happened, the failed business, the broken marriage, the season of addiction. Years in the wrong room, the decade of self-sabotage, the diagnosis you didn't see coming, the faith that collapsed and had to be rebuilt from different materials. Those parts are not the content. Those parts are the cost of admission, the thing you pay before you get to the real story, the shit you get through before you're qualified to say anything. And I want to What I'm going to say is kind of going to rearrange everything in your current belief system. Those parts are not the cost of admission. Those parts are the whole ticket. Those parts are not what you get through before you become qualified. They are the qualification, the specific, irreplaceable, cannot be manufactured or purchased credential that makes your voice the one that lands for the exact person who needed to hear it. Not someone else's polished testimony, not the cleaned up version that skips from the problem to the solution without spending any time in the mess. Your specific, particular, detailed, this is what it actually felt like from inside it, that story. The mess is the message. And I say this every episode because it is the truest thing I know, and because I need you to hear it one more time. And then probably another time after that until the day it actually lands in the place that changes what you do with your story. Your mess is the message. And today I want to talk about why and how and what is actually happening in the brain of the person who hears your story and feels seen for the very first time. And why the systems that profit from your silence are very specifically interested in making sure you never ever tell your story. Welcome to the Listen Bitch podcast. Everything we talk about in this rebellion season, the grounding, the healing, the money, relationships, spiritual warfare, inner critic, the trauma, the visibility, the surrender, the emotional maturity. I mean, the list goes on. We've talked about a lot of shit. And I feel like the next best place to go is right here. For the moment you stop managing your story. And I want this to be the moment where you actually start using it. I am Brandon Lynette, your voice authority, podcast coach. Your mess is your message. And that is not a tagline. It's the operating system of everything I do and everything I help people build. And today I want to show you exactly why it works, what is happening in your brain when it lands, and why the person who tells the true story is always the one who changes the room. Today's episode, you guys. Brought to you by Super Patch. If you're watching me on YouTube, you could barely see it, well, because of my tattoos. But yes, I'm rocking my patches. But today I want to talk about the joy patch. Because if there's any episode where I want you feeling full aliveness of what it means to have a story worth telling, joy is the one. Joy patch is what I put on when I need to remember that this work is good. Not just important, but good. And this patch is a drug-free, no-ingredient, vibrotactile technology, sending signals to the neural pathways that support your sense of optimism and emotional well-being. It's braille for your brain, telling it you're allowed to feel good about this. You're allowed to feel alive in your calling. And I've got the link in the show notes for you guys. Okay, joy is an incredible one. But story. I've always heard like to be a collector of stories. And I never really knew what that meant, at least in a way that I could apply it to something that mattered. until I got Listen Bitch Presents Tell Me Why You're Special. You guys, story is the oldest technology humans have. It's older than writing, it's older than money, older than government, which, given what government has become, is probably for the best. Before any of those things existed, humans were sitting around fires telling each other what happened and what it meant. And that technology, the technology of story is just so deeply embedded in how the human brain works that it's not an exaggeration to say your brain thinks in story, not in data, not in bullet points, not in carefully organized arguments, but in story. So I want to simplify this a little bit, okay? But this is going to be accurate. There is the analytical system, which processes information in your brain, the logic, the data, the stats, arguments. And then there is this narrative system, which processes experience, character. That's your emotion, it's your consequences, it's your meaning. Most communication, most persuasion, most teaching, most preaching, most podcasting all leads with the analytical system. Okay, this is the evidence, and the analytical system processes it and files it, right? Here's the points, here's the information. It gets categorized, it gets added to what you know, but it does not necessarily change what you do, because the gap between knowing and doing is not bridged by more information, it's bridged by story. And when you hear a story, a real one told with honesty and genuine emotional texture, something different happens in the brain, something called neural coupling. The brain of the person telling the story and the brain of the person hearing it begin to synchronize. The same neural regions activate in both brains. The listener is not just processing information about an experience, they are neurologically simulating the experience. Their brain is running the story as if it's happening to them. The empathy circuits fire, the memory consolidation systems activated. The emotional processing centers engage. And the result is not just understanding, it's resonance. It's that specific physical, this is landing somewhere kind of feeling that you get when a story just really speaks to you rather than just informs you. And this is why data does not change behavior, but story does. This is why the most effective thing you can do in a conversation, in a speech, in a podcast, or a coaching session, or a Facebook post is not to list your credentials. It's to tell the truth about what happened to you. Because the truth about what happened to you neurologically transports the listener into the experience. And from inside the experience, they do not need to be convinced. They just need to recognize themselves. Recognition is the most powerful force in human communication. And this is the lie that keeps the most powerful stories locked inside the people who were built to tell them. The lie says your story is only worth telling if it has a clean ending. If you made it through, if you figured it out, if you're standing on the other side with the lesson packaged and the resolution landed and the before and after photos are ready to go. The lie says that the story in progress, the one you're still in right now, the one you have not finished moving through, the one where you do not fully know yet what it means or where it ends, that story is not ready. That story is too raw. That story requires more processing before it becomes appropriate for an audience. Y'all, that's not the truth. That is the performance industrial complex protecting its market. Because a person telling a story in a progress is a person who cannot be one-upped by someone else's more polished version of the same narrative. They cannot be replaced by a highlight reel. They are irreplaceable precisely because what they are sharing is happening in real time, and real time cannot be manufactured or optimized or my favorite YouTube A/B tested. Okay. The rawest version of your story is really the most powerful version. Not because suffering is content. Okay. You don't get a gold star for that shit. I'm not saying monetize your pain. I am saying that the authenticity that comes from telling what is exactly true rather than what is safely resolved is the thing that neural coupling requires to work. Your brain and my brain sync on truth, they do not sync on performance. And the listener is going to know the difference, even if they can't name it, even if they would never use the word authenticity. Their nervous system just knows. And their nervous system either relaxes into the story or stays slightly guarded against it. Real story produces relaxation. Performed story produces a pleasant but convincing experience. The media structures, okay, the systems that have been running shit, the corporate content machines, the influencer economy, the entire apparatus of personal branding that big tech builds and profits from, all of them have a very specific investment in polished story, in the aspirational narrative, in the transformation arc that goes from problem to solution in a way that makes the viewer feel inspired but not implicated. In the story that says, look how far I've come, rather than here's exactly what it felt like when I was in the middle of all of the shit in the arena, the same thing you're going through right now. Because the story that says, here's exactly what it felt like is a story that produces solidarity, community, and people looking at each other and saying, you too? I thought I was the only one. And solidarity is the most dangerous thing in the world to a system that profits from your isolation. A person who has found their people, who has heard their story in someone else's voice and recognized that they're not broken, not alone, not uniquely disqualified, that person does not stay compliant. That person starts building things. That person starts asking why they were never told, about the things that are going to help them and why they were, told to be quiet about the real thing that makes them the most useful to the exact people who need them in the moment. Your silence is and always has been very profitable for them. Your story is profitable for the people it was made to reach. So you really have to make a decision today. Who the fuck are you working for? And, I have full versions of stories I've told in pieces throughout the season because pieces are useful, but the whole thing is more useful. Spending 10 years knowing what I was supposed to be doing and not doing it. The fear of success, my glass ceiling, the kids used as a cover for a glass ceiling I built over my own head. But if I go further back, the fear of success did not start with me deciding to be afraid. It started with the story I absorbed before I was old enough to choose whether to believe it. And the story was this: people like us don't get to have that. And it was never said like explicitly. Which it never is. It's just said in the silence, in what was celebrated, what was dismissed, in a way that ambition was treated in the environment I grew up in unspoken but deeply felt message that wanting more than your station was dangerous. Wanting more invited failure, and that failure in the presence of people who expected it was the worst kind of failure there was. I did something very smart and very damaging. I became the person who almost had it. The one with the potential that everyone could see, and the results that kept just stopping short of the thing, of the big thing. That way, if I failed, nobody could say they were surprised. And if I succeeded, which I made sure was always partial enough to be deniable, I could always attribute it to something outside of myself. Luck, timing, other people's generosity, not me, never fully. Never vulnerably me standing in the result and saying, I did this, I built this, this is what I was made for. 10 years or more. I kept the mess in a locked room and I kept putting on the act, performing for the almost version of my story. And then, I go into a Reiki session and God showed in a way I didn't expect. And I just talked about that. Kind of everything cracked open. And the crack was not the problem. The crack was the light getting in. And what came through the crack eventually, after the shame and the grief and the rebuilding, was this: the story, the whole story, the 10 years and the woo space and the glass ceiling and the kids, used as cover. Reiki sessions with demons and, a shower where God says, drop it all. All of it, release everything. That was rock bottom, like the most depressed I'd ever been, But what did I do? You can follow back. I told the story, not because it was packaged, not because it was resolved, not because I'd arrived somewhere clean and safe. I started telling it because it was true, and because the person who needed to hear it, the one who was in year three of their own version of the same 10 years, who was doing their own sophisticated version of almost, who was building their own glass ceiling and calling it responsible, that person observed the unpolished version. They deserve the story in its actual shape, not the shape it would be eventually trimmed into. And what happened when I start telling the story? People stop me mid-sentence to say, I thought I was the only one. Okay, that's that neural coupling we just talked about. That's working in real time. With all the self-sabotage, everything I did, other people's brains started recognizing mine. Their experience synced with the story. And in that moment of recognition, in that specific something just landed. In those moments, something shifts for them that no amount of advice or frameworks or five-step plans could have ever really shifted, because the story did what the information could not. It said, like, bitch, you're not broken. You are not uniquely disqualified. Someone else was in this room, and here's what the door looks like from the inside. That's the power of story. That is your specific, irreplaceable, this is why you are the right person to tell it kind of power. And if you, this episode is landing for you, if something in the last few minutes is stirring the story in you that has been wanting to be told, I need you to do something right now before we keep going. Okay, share the show with the person in your life who has a story too, or maybe they're just sitting on it, who's been waiting to feel qualified, someone who's been managing the mess instead of recognizing it as the message. They need this as much as you did, so please share it. If you've not subscribed and left a written review yet, do it now, not later. Okay, that's the most direct way to help the show reach the people it was built for. Takes you less than 3 minutes. Pause the show, I'll be waiting. Okay, and then let me tell you about oxytocin. Okay, because this is where the brain science of the story gets wild. Oxytocin. You guys have heard this, right? It's a neuropeptide. Okay. I know everybody's ears perked for that because, like, peptide is the new thing, right? It's the new thing. It's a chemical messenger in the brain that is most commonly known as the bonding hormone. And it's released during, like, physical touch, during connection, during specific experience of feeling safe with another person. It is the chemistry of trust, of belonging, of feeling that the person across from you is on your side. There's a neuroscientist named Paul Zak, and he discovered this in his research. Okay. Oxytocin is also released when you hear a compelling, emotionally engaging, character-driven story. Not even story, maybe just something with a character whose inner life you can feel, whose struggle you can recognize, whose stakes are real, that kind of story. It triggers the oxytocin release in the listener's brain, which means that when you tell your real story, the one with the struggle and the stakes in the inner life, you're literally producing a bonding chemical in the brain of the person hearing it. You are creating the neurochemistry of trust before they've even met you in person, before they have vetted your credentials, okay? Before you know your framework or your methodology or your price point, the story does the chemistry work first. That is why personal story converts better than any sales copy ever written. And it's not because it's manipulative, but because it's fucking honest, because it produces the neural experience of genuine connection. And genuine connection is what humans are biologically rewired to respond to. You are not hacking people with your story. You're giving their brains the specific input they were designed to receive and respond to. You know how desperately they're going to need you to have a podcast, people, because AI is taking that humanity. It's taking that connection. You're not going to get the oxytocin. Okay. If your brain's like mine and you feel things more deeply, more intensely, we are exquisitely tuned to authenticity. We can detect the gap between what's being said and what's being felt with a precision that is fucking remarkable. We know when a story is bullshit. We know when vulnerability is curated, when the mess has been cleaned up enough to be palatable and nobody's moved by it. And it's not because we're unfeeling, it's because we feel too much to be fooled. So if your brain is like mine, you're running the full emotional frequency of the communication and what you're receiving, it doesn't match what's being sent. But when a story is real, when it's told from inside the actual experience without the management layer, those same brains receive it fully. And fully is the operative word. The impact of a true story in a deeply wired brain is not proportional to the effect of telling it. It is disproportionate. It is specific, powerful. This will stay with me for years. Impact that the polished version never produces. This matters so much for the audience that you're building because the people who most need to hear your story, the ones who have been in the specific rooms you've been in, who have built their own version of your glass ceiling, even for me, people who are carrying their own version of my mess right now, those people are the most intensely wired people in the room. And they will know immediately that we're giving them the real version or the safe one. And those people stay and leave based on that detection. So just give people the real version every single time. You are reinforcing neural pathways that say your experience has value when you share, that what happened to you is not evidence of your inadequacy, but it's material for your mission. The mess is not something to be managed and minimized, but something to be used and shared. And as that pathway strengthens, the shame pathway weakens. Not because you thought your way out of it, story by story, rep by rep, until the brain's default response to your own history is not to hide, but to use it. And that's the work. And it's the most important work that you're gonna do. And these big systems, you know what they're actually afraid of? It's not your success, not your financial freedom, not your healthy body or your regulated nervous system or your cleared out emotional closets. Although some of those things do cost the machine something, what they are most afraid of is your story, because your story told truly produces that solidarity. And solidarity produces the one thing that cannot be manufactured or bought or algorithmically re replicated. It's a fucking movement, not a trend. Not a moment, a movement. People who have found each other through the recognition of shared truth and who cannot be separated again because the bond was formed in the chemistry of a genuine story, and that chemistry does not break down the way manufactured bullshit engagement does. So these elite families, okay, the devil worshipping satanic pedophile freaks that have been running shit from the shadows for generations, for thousands of years, okay? The ones who need this population divided and isolated and too ashamed of their own stories to tell them, they do not fear your polished brand. They have departments for that. They know exactly how to co-opt a polished brand. That's why all these media influencers get paid, because they're the polished brand and they're selling out. They know how to absorb that into the machine, how to make it profitable for the structure, while neutralizing the active threat. But a person with a real story, told without apology, producing that oxytocin level bonding in the people who hear it, who are building community out of shared recognition, that person is genuinely difficult to neutralize. That's the rebellion, bitch. Because you cannot co-opt authentic. You cannot. You can only try to drown it out with more noise. And the noise is getting louder precisely because the authentic is actually getting through. Your story is the signal in the noise, so start telling it louder, okay? Jesus was the most masterful storyteller who ever lived. He did not teach primarily through theology, okay? He taught through story. The prodigal son, the good Samaritan, the lost sheep, the woman with the lost coin, the sower and the seed. He took the most complex spiritual truths in human history and he wrapped them up in characters and stakes and struggle and resolution. And he told them to crowds of people who could not read, who had no theological training, who would never pass a seminary exam. And those stories changed the world. They're still changing it 2,000 years later. And we're still sitting in rooms talking about what those characters felt and what those stories mean and what they're asking of us. He did not start with the doctrine and illustrate with the story. He started with the story and let the truth emerge from inside of it because he understood. He built the brain, after all. He understood that the story goes places the argument cannot follow, that neural coupling happens in the parable before it happens in the proposition, that you do not convince people into the kingdom. You tell them a story, they recognize themselves in it, and you let the recognition do the work. That's the model. not just for preaching, but I mean for podcasting, for coaching, for that specific, particular, irreplaceable thing you were put here to build. Start with the story, the real one, the one that makes you vulnerable and specific and impossible to replace, and then let the truth emerge from inside of it. You have to write the one story you have been not telling. Not to post, not to publish, just to write it in longhand if possible, in all its specific and unmanaged detail, the version that has not been edited to be palatable for the people, the version that includes the parts of you you're not sure you're allowed to include. Write it for yourself first, because you cannot tell a story you have not fully faced. And writing it, giving it that specific language, the concrete details, the actual texture of what it felt like from the inside, that is the first act of owning it. And owning is the prerequisite for using it. Second, find the one person you can tell it to. Not everyone, one. The person who is safe enough to hear the unedited version and whose response you can observe and learn from. Come on my show, bitch. Get in the hot seat. You're safe. Because the first time you tell your real story out loud, something's going to happen in you and something will happen in them. And you need to see both. You need to feel what it was like when the chemistry works, when the recognition lands, when someone says, I thought I was the only one. And you understand for the first time in your gut, not just in your head, that the story is the thing. And you need to identify the specific person your story was written for. Not a demographic. I'm saying one person. That specific human being who is in year three of your 10 years. Who is in the Reiki session that you were in before that moment, right? Who's building that glass ceiling right now and calling it responsible? Who's in the room with me before God pulled me out of that? People can relate to that. They're out there right now, listening to things that are not quite hitting the way your story would. They're waiting, not patiently, but they're waiting. And you're the voice. Step into becoming the voice. Take the mess you have been managing and the story you have been protecting and the voice you've been warming up for 20 9 years, whatever, however many years, and find it and deploy it, because your mess is your message. And I know you've heard me say that 100 times just in this episode alone. I just need you to believe it, not intellectually, but in the place that changes what you do tomorrow, in the neural pathway that your brain has been building every time you've listened to this show and recognize yourself in it. Because that pathway, the one that says, my story matters, my voice is needed, my specific combination of wounds in this arena and wisdom and hard-won clarity is irreplaceable. That pathway is real and it's yours and it's waiting for you to move from building it to actually using it. The world does not need a quieter version of your story. It does not need a cleaned up version. It does not need the version that waited until it was safe. It needs the true one, the full one, and the one that's going to cost you something to tell and reaches the person who needed it in a way that no one else could have. Jesus told stories. God wrote one. The whole Bible is a story, arc and all, mess and miracle and everything in between. And you, made in the image of the God who tells the best story ever told, were given a chapter that belongs to you. So tell it with everything you have, without apology, to the exact person it was written for. You guys know if the show landed where it was supposed to. Like the show, subscribe, leave a written review. Takes less than 3 minutes. Don't be selfish. It's the smallest possible act of someone who just had something click or knows it could click for someone else. Make sure you get resourced at brandonlinette.com, and you guys get my joy patches from the super patch link in the notes, because the person who is about to step into the full use of their story deserves a nervous system lit up with joy that was always supposed to accompany this work. Okay. Get resourced, check the show notes. Okay. If you need to share your story, please come to me to do that. That's like my favorite thing to do. Am I going to put you in the hot seat? Absolutely. But what's the truth? Your message, your message. Now go tell it.